Exodus 17 and verse 8. Exodus 17 and verse 8. And Amalek came and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said to Joshua, "Choose us men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the staff of God in my hand." And Joshua did so as Moses had said to him, to fight with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses raised his hand that Israel prevailed, and when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. Moses' hands were heavy. Then they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it, and Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on this side and one on that side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua broke the power of Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And Jehovah said to Moses, "Write this for a memorial in the book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, that I will utterly blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under the heavens." And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. And he said, "For the hand is on the throne of God," or Yah. "Jehovah will have war with Amalek from generation to generation." And in reference to 1 Samuel chapter 15, already referred to this afternoon. 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 1. "And Samuel said to Saul, 'The Lord sent me to anoint thee king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken to the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I have considered what Amalek did to Israel, how he set himself against him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek and destroy utterly all that they have, and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass.' And Saul summoned the people and numbered them in Telaim, 200,000 footmen and 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came to the city of the Amalekites and set an ambush in the valley. And so on we go, and we see how he defeated them. And Samuel came to meet Saul, and he rose early in the morning in verse 12. And Samuel came to Saul in verse 13. Saul said to him, 'Blessed art thou of the Lord, I have fulfilled the word of the Lord.' Samuel said, 'What means then this bleating of ear, sheep in mine ears, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear?' And Saul said, 'They have brought them from the Amalekites, because the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice to the Lord, and the rest we have utterly destroyed.' And Samuel said to Saul, 'Stay, that I may tell you what the Lord has said to me this night.' He said to him, 'Say on.'" And they go through all the details. We're very familiar with the story. Verse 22, "Samuel said, 'Has the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices, as in hearkening to the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and attention than the fat of rams. Rebellion is the sin of witchcraft, and self-will as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king.'" And, these are just typical Old Testament stories, but they bring out wonderful pictures of the truths of the New Testament. The new is in the old contained, and the old is by the new explained. And here we see this type of Amalek. Amalek is a type of the flesh. And back in Genesis chapter 10, we see the derivation of Amalek there. We can read about it later on and see where he came from, Amalek. And it was purely a line of flesh. And there's the children of Israel. They've come out, the blood on the doorpost, they got out, He went through the Red Sea, came through the Red Sea, and they got experience, of course, at the waters of Marah. And of course, every young Christian, as we said this afternoon, well, practically all of them, they think it's going to be wonderful hunky-dory, bed of rose petals, everything's going to be all right. But we then taste the bitterness of the world, the opposition of the world, and the fact that we naturally just can't do it. And of course, we have to go through the experience of Romans 7. And there, I was thinking, really, as our dear brother John was speaking about wood, there at the waters of Marah, Moses cast wood into the water, and the bitter waters became sweet. As dear Mr. Darby said, it's him, death's bitter waters met our thirst. Thy cross has made them sweet. And on our gladdened vision burst, God's holy, sweet retreat. And so that's the experience there. And then after that, of course, they have the manna, and they grumble, and of course the manna's there for them. remarkable thing that this is the first time that the glory of God appears, when they were murmuring about the manna. And then they come on and into chapter 17 with the waters of Meribah and Massa, and God said, I will stand before thee upon the rock of Horeb, and they smote the rock, and the water came out for them. Now then, here's this further development in their pilgrim's pathway from Egypt to Canaan. And they're in Rephidim, the waters of Rephidim, near the camp of Rephidim. There's opposition. And they've got a word from God. Choose us men to go out and fight with Amalekite. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill. Of course, here Joshua is typical of the Holy Spirit. This is the first occasion we meet Joshua. He's typical of the Holy Spirit. And we know that's the situation today, isn't it? As it brought before us in our reading this afternoon. The living power of the Holy Spirit in our hearts and lives, changing them completely, molding them into Christ's likeness, and giving us, empowering us to be here for him in this scene. And of course, we have the Lord on high. He's gone on high. He's in the presence of God for us at God's right hand. He appears in the presence of God for us there. He ever lives to make intercession for us. Yes, he's there, appearing for us, not to pray about our sinning. He's there to feel for us and sustain us. Of course, we do know that if we do sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He, in a court case, you know, they say, who appears for the prosecution, so-and-so, who appears for the defense, such-and-such, counsel. And the Lord appears for our defense, and he's never lost a case yet, dear saint of God. Don't worry, he's never lost a case yet. He's an all-the-way-home Savior. And so, full salvation, isn't he? Full salvation. And so here, Amalek comes up to fight with Israel. We see, of course, here the type. These types, of course, never stand four square with the New Testament teaching. There's no way that the Lord Jesus needs anyone to hold his hands up in heaven. No way. It was up with hands uplifted. We had on Saturday night, didn't he? Great high priestly action, with the hands uplifted. But another priestly action, he'd said to Peter, didn't he? I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. I have prayed for thee, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Strengthen thy brethren. He says, so there is, I have prayed for thee. Satan hath desired to have you all of you, all of you. And he wants to get a hold of us all, to sift you as wheat. You see? His skillful way, you know, he sifts us as wheat. He's very subtle. But the Lord Jesus said to Peter, I have prayed for thee in particular, that thy faith fail not. And of course, perhaps it might be, you know, another little case of what dear Ernest brought before us, of the individual, you see. I prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And then, of course, we know we've got the experience, the learning of that case of Peter, classic case, and so that we all can get that benefit of the Lord praying for us, in for us, interceding for us. And then that our faith fail not. And sadly, of course, some of us do fail. But how wonderful it is when a soul is recovered and he can be able to minister to the brethren. Great and wonderful that is. So there we see that Amalek was completely defeated. It says, Joshua, the Holy Spirit brought the power of Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And I don't think we need too much stretch of imagination, don't we, to see again here another application of the Word of God, the Blessed Spirit of God, using the Word, the sword today. And then the Lord said to Moses, write for memorial and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. Well, of course, here, strictly speaking, this wouldn't be the ears of the Holy Spirit. But there, Joshua there now takes as typical of the people. And it's rehearsed in our ears, of course, in the living power and freshness of the Holy Spirit of God, that God will utterly blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under the heavens. And that's it, you see. God has condemned sin in the flesh. As we said this afternoon, what God could not mend, he has ended. And the first Bible reading I went to among brethren, so-called, you know, with the inverted commas, the first Bible reading I went to, I was reading Romans 7. Young lad of 14. And I remember the brethren saying that then. What God could not mend, he ended. What you heard 60-odd years ago, you can remember better than what you heard 60 minutes ago. So all you dear young people, get it into it now. You know, get into it now. And get it into you. And get it in. And pray it in. The older you get, you know, the more forgetful you get. You can hardly remember what was said, what your wife said to you 5 minutes ago. Get these things into you now, you young people. And they'll stay with you and form you. And so then Moses built this altar as well. He called it Jehovah Nissi. I think there are seven, well, there are a lot of Jehovahs, of course. Dear George has them all in his Bible if you want to see them. But there are seven in particular that are brought out, and we see instances of them in John's Gospel. And here this one is, Jehovah Nissi, the Lord is my banner, and the hand is on the throne of God. There it is, stability, certainty, and that's what we're caught up with. And the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. And of course, Satan never gives up, and he activates our flesh, and it's always there trying to get the advantage of us, but God will have war with it, and we're led by the Spirit of God. It said, if you do mortify. Now that might seem a very big word, but you know all it means is put to death. It's the Greek word for putting it to death. And dear brother J.T. Mawson, doesn't he get a hold of, if you haven't read it, his article in somewhere in the 1920s or 30s about the eagle, didn't he? He'd been in Scotland and he'd seen a wonderful golden eagle imprisoned in a cage. And he then goes on to say about starving the old man. Oh, I know he's dead at the cross. He's died at the cross. But, you know, we've got to watch we don't practically let him live again. You know. Remember Joseph, when he came back, when his brothers came back the second time, he says, does your father let live? The old man of whom you speak. The old man of whom you speak. He's there till the very end, dear saint of God. He's there. Sadly, I've visited dear saints in their 80s and 90s, just about to pass from time into eternity. The old man can still raise his head. Of course, he still does with me, of course, and but, you know, it's still there. It needs to be held in the place of death. Starve to death. Feed the new man. Starve the old man. So there's to be war from generation to generation. And, of course, here in this situation, here we see how in chapter 15 Amalek was really put to way. In the ordering of God, rather remarkably, it wasn't left for David to do it. Saul, God overruled and let Saul set about doing it, but sadly we did read in that chapter 15 of how Saul went about it, but he didn't completely do it. And Samuel came up and he said, "What means this bleating of the sheep in mine ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear?" You were supposed to put everything completely obliterate and slaughter everything. What means this? Isn't that us, dear saint of God? I speak to myself. And I'm sure others have told me it's the same thing, you know. We like to preserve the best of the flesh. We don't like that drunken man or the gambler or the wife beater or people like that. No, we'll have nothing to do with them. But, oh yes, a little bit of refinement, you know, a little bit of polish. Something there, you know. We like a little bit of refinement of the flesh. Don't we like to tolerate it? Oh, it's got to be done. It's flesh and it goes. It's got to go. Completely gone. And we see Agag is brought forward, didn't he? We didn't read that in verse 32. "Bring ye near to me Agag, the king of Amalek." And Agag came to him, gaily, happily. Oh, he was laughing, thinking, oh, it's all right. In the flesh, you know, although the flesh has been beaten, but it still likes to show off and go along happily, you know, likes to join in with everything. Just to, you know, just have a bit of mercy on me. Am I speaking in foreign tongue? I think we can all see that, can't we? And Agag said, "Sure, the bitterness of death is past." Samuel hewed Agag in pieces for the Lord in Gilgal. And Samuel went to Ramah, so went up to house in Gibeah. Samuel saw Saul no more until the day of his death. Samuel mourned over Saul, and the Lord repented that he had made Saul king of Israel. Just this touch, dear friend, dearly beloved, on the picture we see there. And surely we can see the actual truth of it now. I remember a dear brother, I better not say which country, but it wasn't in Britain, I was abroad somewhere, and they were getting ready for the camp, you see, getting ready for the camp. And he says, I said, "What are you having in the camp?" He says, "Oh, we're going to Joshua chapter 5. We're going to have the teaching on baptism in Joshua chapter 5. I said, "Well, dear brother, you won't get it there. You'll get a picture of it." I said, "The teaching of baptism is in Romans 6, Colossians 2. That's where you'll get it." So, I mean, I'm not saying you're going to get the doctrine of the dealing with the flesh here. But I think you can see a picture of it, can't you? The need to be for it to be put to end. God's got war with it from end to end. And it's the Joshua is the leader of the Holy Spirit that's into the battle, controlling it. And eventually it will be done forever. And Samuel, his last act in the presence of Saul, was to absolutely hew and kill Agag, cut him to pieces. Sad indeed. And so, dear saint of God, I hope you just grasp something of what the Spirit just laid on my heart there towards the end. May we go in for these things and be found here. Rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ, because we're on the victory side. As Andrew has been so much laboring to stress to us, we're overcomers. We're on the victory side. And we've got the tremendous resources that are there. The Lord Jesus Christ is there in heaven in the presence of God. We've got a divine person, a person of the Godhead, down here indwelling us, empowering us here to get rid of that flesh that's there. It's gone forever in the sight of God. May we know more of these things.